and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A Texas man who was reported missing returned home the next day, but he and his mother deceived officers by giving false names for 8 years.
Prosecutors in Houston have decided not to bring false report charges against Janie Santana and her son Rudy Ferris IV, but the investigation continues. The man reported missing as a teenager in 2015 was found lying on the ground outside of a Houston church a week ago.
Being missing is not a crime. The detectives had no lawful means or probable cause to issue a search warrant for the residence, which was searched several times.
Houston Police Lieutenant Christopher Zamora. Police say the man, who is now 25, is nonverbal and unable to communicate with them. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Earth's average temperature has remained at record highs in recent days. Climate scientist Chris Field explains why.
One is the rising temperatures that are caused by global warming. The second is we've recently transitioned into El Nino conditions, a state of the Pacific Ocean that makes the ocean less capable of taking up heat.
The average global temperature was 62.9 degrees Tuesday. A former official at the private Christian school owned by rapper Kanye West has filed a lawsuit. CBS's Christopher Cruz reports.
The suit says the school used generator-powered flood lamps for lighting because it had no electricity and had no hot water. Plus, the septic tank repeatedly overflowed. In his suit, former vice principal Isaiah Meadows also claims the school was dirty and had numerous education, health, and safety code violations, and that officials illegally retaliated against employees who reported them.
Also, there was no glass in the windows because Kanye West reportedly did not like glass. Facebook's parent company Meta has launched a new social media rival to Twitter called Threads.
So far, millions of people have already started to log on, and they've found a very basic social network. It's focused on just sharing text and photos, and it doesn't have some of the features that Twitter is known for, like hashtags, although you can tag various people in a post if you want to.
That's CBS tech contributor Ian Scher. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has arrived in Beijing for meetings with Chinese leaders. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Her visit is part of an effort to repair relations with China. She hopes to focus on stabilizing the global economy, and her aides say also challenging Beijing's support of Russia in its war on Ukraine. Her visit follows a trip there by Secretary of State Antony Blinken. His trip was the highest level U.S. visit in 5 years.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If you're hiring, it can feel like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, ZipRecruiter has helped a lot of business owners find their needle in a haystack, like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers. Because Telly Tires has grown a lot in the last few years, Marco needed to hire everyone from a receptionist to a store manager to a head mechanic.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill. ZipRecruiter helps me keep my business running.
Take it from Marco and millions of other businesses who've used ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter can help you find the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FREE. ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Authorities say it looks like a man from Beaver Dam was murdered at a strip club in western Wisconsin. 55-year-old Andrew Freshett was found unresponsive in the parking lot of a bar in Alma on Friday morning. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office is looking into it, but they can't release any more information since it's an active investigation. The Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department Street Dance is this Saturday, July 8th. The event begins with a parade down Main Street at 3:30. Food and refreshments will be available before and during the parade. The Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department will be selling refreshments, and they will also have activities for the kids. The band Southbound will play from 5 to 10, and there will be fireworks by the Braddock Company at dusk. The Rafters head to Mequon today to play a two-game series against the Lakeshore Chinooks. First pitch is tonight at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 51 tonight under clear skies, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 80 tomorrow, cloudy skies. Overcast skies again tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers 56. Upper 70s Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms, mid 80s Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 75.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this July 6th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we are going to welcome in Kayla from the UW Extension. Looking forward to talking with Kayla about community development, education, and all of that. Right now, we have with us in studio Ryan Petroska.
Petroski, actually.
Petroski. Yeah. Petroski. Okay, yep. Petroski. Ryan is the instructor of culinary arts over at Mid-State Technical College at our Wisconsin Rapids campus. Ryan, good morning. Good afternoon to you. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks a lot for being here, Ryan. Ryan hasn't joined us before, everybody, so you know how this works. We got to get to know Ryan a little bit, get his origin story. Ryan, tell us about your background in culinary arts and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so started out at about 13 waiting tables with my... with my mother. She was at a supper club, always waited tables part-time for me growing up. So she recruited all three of us in the industry pretty young. We're always looking for help, so it was easy for us to get in there. Bounced in and out of restaurant scene for a while, majority of that until my mid-20s when I became a non-traditional student. And during that time, I won some awards. I got a bronze award in a state competition. I was Phi Theta Kappa, which is like a honor system for culinary for technical colleges, and then dean's list throughout. Ultimately, ending with certifications in baking, hospitality, and restaurant management, and then controlling food service. Ended up with a degree in culinary arts, associate degree in culinary arts from Nicolet College.
Nice.
And then. Continued the restaurant industry, obviously, a little more intense now at this point. Took a corporate position with the Bartolotta Restaurant Group in Milwaukee, and then head chef at a couple places. Moved back to the Northwoods, where I'm from, and opened a restaurant in Tomahawk for about 6 years. I never did breakfast food, so we figured why not? And took off. I was recruited from there part-time teaching. I actually left that to... grow catering as a business. And then I saw the opportunity at Mid-State Tech here for a full-time instructor and applied for that, and here we are. So
what brought you to teaching?
So never really thought I would do it. My experience is in the trenches, which is great, but ultimately Nick Lay recruited me, the college I went to when I was a town away. They kind of asked if I would consider applying, and I did, and took that position when it was offered, and actually really fell for that. It was a good fit for me. So I ran with it as much as I could and ran the restaurant at the same time. But yeah, it was, why not?
I like you, at a very young age, found my passion, acting. And I've been acting since then. But about 10 years ago, I was working at Second City, and they needed a sub, and I started helping. And I've been teaching there ever since. And I found I fell back in love with acting through teaching. Yeah. And it sounds like you found a little of that with the culinary arts, that you were able to get a whole new love for this thing that you've been doing since you were a kid. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we find something we care about, we put a lot of effort into, some would say our soul into, we want to spread that, you know.
You got a nice quote here, Ryan, I wanted to make sure to get in there, that knowledge is much like working in the hospitality industry, this one. It doesn't do us any good to hold it just for ourselves.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that. That's a good line. That's very important.
I think
very
often
true.
We forget the importance of being hospitable in the hospitality industry. I mean, it's really major part, not the deciding factor by any means on where we dine or where we stay, but a big factor on what drives us to go there.
I've been in the radio business, the quote communication business, for 20 some years, and I would say the biggest problem with radio is communication.
Yeah,
is people communicating in the radio industry. I hear you. One thing I don't mean to nitpick, sir, especially when we just meet and everything, but you forgot one big thing: that Harley out there. That is a beautiful motorcycle. That is a beautiful motorcycle.
Actually, my first Harley. I've got it for about a month now.
Yeah,
ridden bikes off and on. Mostly it was to work and back. Now I have a little free time. I picked up a bike about a month ago.
What drives your passion for food service?
Man, I would say a few things. You know, family and friends is a big one. Originally, I thought of just like that as a factor. And that's what I was going to discuss with when you asked that question, is family and friends. You know, in the industry, you meet so many people that are family or friends that become family, guests, whatnot, coworkers, the list goes on. And family is one because food brings us together no matter what. We can sit down, and so many people talk about having times for dinners that stand out to them, creates memories. The food is a major part of that often. Sometimes that's what we discuss for years and not realizing that it was just really being with family that made that so enjoyable. And then the bigger one, in my opinion, as to why I was successful in it, is that I love the creativity factor.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as a wrong dish unless it doesn't sell.
I love that, though. That's a great point. And I love the when people find the creativity in things that we don't always think of that with. And for me, especially growing up in an Italian household, that's a huge part of cooking is the improv and the creativity of it. I mean, everybody knows the stereotype, and it's all true as far as the Italians I grew up around.
Yeah.
There is no use this 2 teaspoons of this or that. It's a pinch. It's an eye. You're eyeballing it.
Yeah.
Every recipe is different.
Shake it until it feels right.
Yeah, you're throwing the spaghetti on the wall. It's all of the above. It speaks to, I think, something that I've seen my whole life. It sounds like you have too, Ryan, is the way that nothing brings people together like food.
Yeah.
I've seen it with my own eyes where I've seen, like, literally in my old neighborhood, gangs fighting. And then the next day, them eating over a same meal at like a Puerto Rican parade or something like that. Yeah. Like, food generally, it's not just a phrase. It's true. Food really does bring people together.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a powerful thing.
What are the options at Mid-State for culinary arts?
Yeah, so as far as certificates or degrees we have a culinary foundation, which is a certificate that takes about 11 credits. We have a culinary arts degree, which I graduated. That's a 2-year associate degree. You're going to have a little more time at the school for that. That's 60 to 61 credits. And then we also have a food service assistant, which is a little bit shorter, about 18 credit, but it's a good way to get you started. Find out if the schooling is something you're interested in. You can crank that one out pretty quick, too. So that's kind of nice.
It's something we talk about with Mid-State all the time when we talk about the flexibility of schedule with these things and the ability to be in and out almost.
Yeah.
And I'm putting it lightly, but because a year's time is not always that for some people, or 6 months or what have you, and with some of these classes longer than that.
Yeah.
But relatively speaking, it's a pretty quick way to get a degree, get a career over a job.
Yeah.
So many of the people we talk to nowadays, residents, listeners out there, they're looking for this. We saw it during the pandemic, the great migration of people going from jobs to careers. Mid-State is like got a blueprint on this, on creating this for people.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good segue to, I mean, like for my program being very new, we're just starting continuing ed, but we do that in quite a bit of different varieties. And that can just even, maybe it's a, I think I like this.
Yeah.
We found a couple continuing ed classes, might be a day, might be a week, whatever it might be. And then you can work that in. And
one of the things that I think is very unique about that is that say you do put your foot in the water, you don't like it.
Yeah.
You just picked up a bunch of skills you're going to use the rest of your life.
Especially culinary, right?
Yeah, you got to eat. You got
to
eat.
And it might even be just something that I don't know that I want to go into culinary, but I want to learn how to grill a steak better.
Yeah,
So let's see if Mid-State's offering any of that. Mm-hmm. So.
I love something like that where there is no, no side effect. It works. And if it works for you, you found a new love, you found a new passion and a new career for yourself.
Absolutely.
So we go over the options. When it comes to these particular classes, Ryan, if I'm listening, I'm on the fence, I've thought about getting into this world, I see this list of different programs that with... is there one of these that you suggest that you think that is a good idea for people that maybe want to get their feet wet, get into this world?
For culinary, the foundations is a good start. Check that out in a few months coming up here. The beauty of this area that I found pretty quickly is there's a lot of good people that are passionate about the area growing. And there's some good investment. Last year we had some support from the town of Rome, actually, which actually covered some tuition for some students. We hope that we have some similar collaborations in the future. That's a great option for somebody to get in. And if it's not there, who knows what options might be there the next year if you don't get that and maybe come out of pocket a little bit. But
You mentioned your class being relatively new. It speaks to the importance in this and the growth in this industry,
correct,
too.
Yeah.
I think for so many people out there, especially young people, one of the biggest things you're looking for is, I want to be in an industry that's going to be there in 10 years.
Yeah.
That's going to be there in 20 years.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident this one's going to be there.
It's going to be there. It might change a little bit, especially at the fast food level, but the skills side of it, that's going to continue to see pretty exponential growth. Growths in the next next little bit here. The income right now for a individual entering our field has seen the most change that I've ever seen in my life in almost 20 some years experience. We're seeing it finances really go up, which we didn't see before. That's really exciting for somebody looking at going into this industry right now.
When it comes to people that we've gotten them interested in the industry, why choose the culinary arts at Mid-State?
Okay, so Mid-State prepares you for what we see as being the 13th topped ranked for the top 50 high demand. Mm-hmm. So placing 13 is not hugely high, but it's pretty high
up pretty
that
good.
List.
Yeah,
you know, you're
that.
In the top third. I'll take it. And like I said, with the wages changing the way they are right now, that's a huge benefit for somebody looking at coming into this. You might have liked cooking and been in restaurants but didn't like the income. I see students almost graduating and going in demanding $20 and $25 an hour. And some of them getting pretty close to it, or if not it.
The program preparing you, what about the other types of minds, types of thinkers out there that would be really good in this industry?
Yeah, so it's perfect for those creative ones. Like I said previously, that's a big part of why I fell in love with the industry, especially if they have a focus on quality. You know, like for me, I loved art classes. I'd find a little corner of mold that I was shaving on, and I didn't like the way it looked, so I'd go... try to get it just about where I was like, yep, that's what as close as I can get to perfect. I don't think perfect is really achievable because once we do it, especially in our industry, we give it to somebody and then they eat it. We're perfect. Achieving that again can be very challenging.
It's tough.
But it's, that's huge. And we designed this. Technical schools really have changed. It used to be you're just like a college student, right? Four-year bachelor's degree. You're living on campus pretty much. Some people can do that. Like we said a moment ago, you mentioned that, I believe, that some people can't find that whole year. This can be pretty flexible. I mean, you can still do what we said was a year certificate in a two-year time if you wanted to. Obviously, it's more efficient for both of us. And I get a better understanding. When we talk about creativity, that's one thing I loved with some of my instructors is they really push that. And I push that. Show me you, not just what I want you to do, but I want to see you, and then let's build you to where it should be for an industry standard.
Just piggybacking off of that, right? And I think that one of the things that Mid-State offers so uniquely too is the ability to build some confidence in your industries and in yourself through there. I've taken classes at Mid-State, I've taught at Mid-State, I've worked with and interviewed people here on the air. I've never met one person from Mid-State that isn't a builder.
Yeah.
That doesn't want to build people up.
Yeah.
No matter what they teach, no matter what they're working on or whatever, they want to build you up. They want to build your confidence up. They want to make you feel stronger in this particular industry, whatever it might be. And to the point of, even before you graduate sometimes, you have a job already.
Yeah.
Just to speak to some of this stuff that Mid-State offers that I don't think everybody does.
It's a great point. Number one, I can relate to it personally. I actually had somebody ask me if I would consider catering in the area. I'm not licensed yet. I don't know if I will be for sure or not. Having some breathing room was not something I expected to enjoy as much as I do. Kind of scared me more than it did made me feel good. But I had a student that said that she was interested in starting catering. I was talking about it with me a little bit, and then I kind of referred the other person to them. So they're not even graduated yet. We don't have an official graduate of our associate degree yet. So the fact that I can reiterate that just to myself speaks testaments to what Mid-State is. I would say I agree wholeheartedly. Coming to my program is what we're here to talk about, so I would lean you towards that. I've had students come through our buffet service, and I say, you know, you can jump in our program anytime you want. But definitely see that potential in every instructor I meet at Mid-State that they're pushing.
Speaking with Ryan Petrowski, instructor of culinary arts over at Mid-State Technical College. And Ryan, what can a student expect to experience in this program?
You know, we're going to provide them with a professional quality restaurant experience training. We get a little bit into that near the end of the program, but throughout the whole program, we're going to cover all levels so that they're prepared for pretty much any level of food service training that they can offer to a guest.
I think a lot of people get into this industry with the overall goal of maybe opening a restaurant or running a restaurant or even being a franchise owner of a fast food place or something. For many of us, even putting myself in those shoes, I immediately feel, even though I'm not actually planning on doing this, just empathetically thinking about it, immediately I'm starting to sweat. I'm starting to feel like there's a million things I would have never thought of. The menu. I've walked into restaurants my whole life and I've never thought about, well, wait a minute. They don't just have a menu. You go to a store and buy menus. I mean, you got to figure that out.
The option is actually there, I will be honest for you. Some distribution centers will provide you with menus.
Interesting.
But the big point here is the distribution center provides you with that. So they're going to pitch their product in their menu. And that's something that, when we talk about wanting to be creative and wanting to grow, are we going to get that training? You know, is that distribution center going to give me any tips? Probably not.
No.
You know, as you enter into the workforce, chefs and owners probably aren't going to give you all of their little tricks.
Right.
I have no rival here. Not that I'm saying I wouldn't give tips out when I own my restaurant, but I definitely held some in. And the reality is I don't have that anymore. So we're going to start with some great menu training. I have another instructor that's worked in teaching. He's part-time with us. And he has got like 30 years experience in teaching and ran some major food service operations. So we'll get into menu planning. I will definitely cover recipe creation and all scales of it. And then definitely a big focus on management of supplies and obviously all the other day-to-day operations that we can do. That's why we're pushing that restaurant experience.
As a creative, I love every opportunity to talk about creativity and things in fields that we don't always think of.
Yeah.
And I think that most people by now, especially if you've ever cooked a meal, get the creativity in cooking.
Yeah.
I don't think that we think about it as often, though, in the franchise past or the entrepreneurial part of it.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably not going to want to open a McJoe's burger place. They've got that.
Yeah.
If you're you're getting into the industry, you probably want to do something unique. You want to do something different.
Yeah.
So having a menu that is brought to you, is somebody else's menu and brought to you, that's a going against the opposite of what you're kind of probably trying to do.
Correct.
So yeah. it's a really unique aspect of your class, talking about menus, of getting into those that part of it.
I think really with the training that we provide, you know, it's going to cover just about everything that they could enter any level of food service and have an entry-level skill set, maybe a little more advanced at the very least. I've had some that they went out and they're doing some exceptional catering service and fine dining right now.
Ryan, to people again that might be on the fence and they're leaning towards your classes, they're leaning towards this and everything, but maybe we want to incentivize them a little bit more. What kind of types of people are we looking at here?
Oh yeah, I mean, I see a lot of people come with fast food experience. People who are in a just the mindset that I enjoy being in the food service industry. You know, fast food, we often hear bad remarks from somebody with a little higher training on. And the reality is, if you can handle food service, I worked at McDonald's. I mean, I fried.
Yeah, I
was in the front house, more sales rather than in the kitchen at that point. The reality is, if you enjoy that part, you're probably going to enjoy the industry. If you're just somebody that's in sales or face-to-face conversations with guests, I've seen nurses. They were done with nursing and decided they wanted to look at a career at this. Factory workers leave the factory, and maybe it's not that they're not enjoying their job, but they've accumulated a good income, and they're looking at ways to invest, and maybe managing a restaurant is something they want to do. I had a classmate that I actually ended up working as a head chef with later on in life. He retired from the military and had a nice retirement pension. So he invested in a restaurant and later invested in me. And we started a place up in Boulder Junction as far as running pizza service. He was kind of established as a brew pub at this point, but when I came in, they had just bought a pizza oven that they didn't even install yet. It wasn't even delivered when I first showed up there. Yeah.
Wow.
So we learned that. Never did pizza prior to it. It can be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's good. Quick thought on that is, you know, this is an industry that is never the same.
Yeah.
You know, no two services are the same. You might create a factory of product where it's very similar, and you're repeating it over and over. That's how we build quality.
Yeah.
But no service is the same, and you can always add on that menu when you know how to build it. It's nothing to take a file and, oh, I had to do this. 2020 was very rough for menus at restaurants.
I imagine. I can imagine.
I ran breakfast. Steaks they went up, but they stayed pretty level. Eggs were up and down, all over the place. And it was so challenging.
You really learned a lot. This was a real precursor for you for doing the class.
How easy can a file be to change is pretty important. You know, and how much room you have is important. Like, that's one thing I push is I don't appreciate arrogance too much. Arrogance and confidence don't have to go hand in hand.
Right on.
So that's one benefit I had, was I did okay at what I did, but my growth was good there. My relationship with the area was great.
I gotta say, no matter what the industry, the people that I know with egos, they may be good at what they do, but they never become great.
Yeah.
They never grow. And you don't grow with an ego. An ego gives you a ceiling.
And great alone is still great alone. That's a big factor. You know, I use Gordon Ramsay as an example. He's the screaming on TV gets ratings. But the reality is, nobody wants to work for that guy. So he is not at all the same to work for, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah, from what I've heard, too.
Reviews.
Completely different off camera and all that, and the way he treats cooks and people and stuff. And you really need that in that industry, the respect level of that. And the respect not just to you, to the chef, but the chef to the cooks. Yeah. That kind of thing, that's a huge dynamic there. And it's something you can learn and learn more about through Ryan's classes. Ryan, we just have a minute here. Can you tell us a little bit of what you're working on with the program at Midstate?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to continue to grow our restaurant dining experience, both for our students and for the public. Hopefully, we'll get that rolling out within a year here.
Yeah.
And we've already did soft openings where we did buffet service in-house, kind of to students and staff.
I heard good things about it.
You know, I think that's important, that we have quality product in for all of our students and staff. But eventually, definitely opening that up to the public so we can get some of the benefits out there and what the potential can be. I know I had people follow me from my student as a chef instructor or chef student to when I opened a restaurant. They showed up at my restaurant in the first
That's
month
cool.
that I was open. Yeah,
that also speaks to you as a person and encourages people to take your classes,
yeah,
I would think.
I'd like to believe that.
Yeah, I think so. Ryan, if people want to know more about what we've talked about today, is there a way to reach you directly?
Me directly is, yeah, Ryan Petrowski@mstc.edu, and then that mstc.edu is where we have all of our programs listed, yeah, for all of Mid-State, not just culinary. Obviously, come to culinary.
But yes, obviously. But I appreciate you mentioning the other stuff, too.
Yeah.
Great to meet you, man. Thanks so much for being
too.
In today. Looking forward to hanging out again, and really looking forward to Mid-State opening up some of those the food services and everything. I'll be over there. I'll meet you there.
Keep an eye out for some of those continuing ed classes. I have some great students doing some right now, and I'm going to open up some in the future here, too, once I get curriculum kind of calmed down.
Enjoy your summer, Ryan. It's good to meet you.
You too.
Again, find out more at mstc.edu. That's mstc.edu. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. If you're going to the 4-H pool party on July 16th, payment is due tomorrow. 4-H is throwing a pool party at the Wisconsin Rapids Recreation Complex on July 16th from 2 to 4. This is for all 4-H youth and families. The cost is $5 per participant. Payment is due tomorrow, July 7th. Crews responded to a garage fire early yesterday morning in Whiting. The flames were put out quickly by the three responding fire departments, but the inside of the garage was completely burned. The fire is still under investigation. It may take a long time before we know why a freight train jumped the tracks in Reeseville the other day. The State Railroad Commissioner says only a small number of people are trained to handle these types of investigations. No one was hurt when 29 train cars derailed on the 4th of July. The cars weren't carrying anything hazardous, but the damage to the tracks and the cars is extensive. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of aloft around 51. Tonight, under clear skies, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 80. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Overcast skies again. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers, 56. Upper 70s, Saturday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms, mid-80s, Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 6th, 2023, 3:30 on the clock, and you've got your host, James J. here. I am joined by our great friend, Kayla Rumbalski, community development educator with Wood County Extension. Kayla, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am trying to get that down. I keep saying good morning to people. Good afternoon.
That's all right. It's a holiday week, and I have a hard time remembering what day it is, let alone what time it is.
Time is a flat circle. Yes,
yes,
it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter.
I've never heard that. That's a good expression.
So, Kayla, I hope that you had a good 4th. Speaking of the holidays and everything, has it been good to you?
Really good. My kiddos, who I sometimes talk about on air, are really into baseball. So we have been spending a lot of time playing ball in the backyard, going to local baseball games, and we're going to a Brewer game this weekend. So
nice.
We'll be Everett's first time in a big stadium. Yeah, we're excited.
I've been to two games there, and it's, while I got a lot of love for a lot of the parks out there. That's the most family-friendly park I've ever been in.
Yeah.
Where I could go there with my friends, my guys, and go there and have the same good time that I go there with my kids.
Right.
It's such a cool, well, good atmosphere. You're going to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to have fun.
I'm excited.
And when those fun vibes, that good feeling, you'll be able to carry with you into Science by the River 23.
Yes.
I love this event. I can't believe we're already here.
I know.
It just seems like it wasn't that long ago that the last one was.
It's true. It's true. Fun. It's coming up. We still have a couple of months. So
yeah, we got some time here.
We're not quite there yet, but we're in the planning stages. So
and as we were just talking about time being a flat circle, you want to bookmark this stuff early.
Right.
Because before you know it,
get it on
be
your
September.
Calendar. Yeah.
So Science by the River for 2023 coming up September 30th. Real quickly, was the last Science by the River in September?
It was not. So last year it was in October. And, you know, we had beautiful fall weather the weekend before and the weekend after.
Yeah.
But the weekend of Science by the River, it was cold. It was rainy. It was not super enjoyable. I mean, it was still a great opportunity to be out by the river. Don't get me wrong. That part of it was great. But the weather was not so great.
I was really impressed with talking with people that attended the event and even talking with some of the kids that did. And while everybody did mention that, the weather, it would have been nice to have better weather, immediately following that with had a great time, or one of the kids said he learned this. And you know, so it's like typical Midwesterners. We can have a good time no matter what it is.
Right, exactly.
We've learned to do that here.
Exactly.
But it's not a bad idea to move it maybe a month early.
Right, that was our hope.
Yeah,
we thought, you know, we could get bad weather in September, so we're just crossing our fingers that we'll be set. One of the primary reasons for the change in date is that we wanted to offer something different that we haven't done before with this event, which is a river cleanup volunteering event. So this would be for families, kids 16 years of age and older, and adults, and we'll actually get out in a boat on the river right here in downtown Wisconsin Rapids and do some river cleanup.
Where did this idea come from?
So this is something that the DNR does in other communities. They've done it in Wausau a few times with school groups. But this event, Science by the River, really focuses on harnessing the power of the Wisconsin River that runs right through our community in Wisconsin Rapids, but then also several other central Wisconsin communities. And not only is it harnessing, you know, that beauty and that power, literally and figuratively, because it does lead to hydroelectric power and that kind of thing, but making sure that we're taking care of that water resource and that we're protecting it for years to come. So as we talked about it as a committee, we really thought that doing a volunteer opportunity on the river was a nice complement to the event, and we're excited to offer that this year.
Few organizations I've learned more from than UW, and having the round table of guests that we have coming in. And one of the biggest things that I learned as a city boy and as somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of experience in nature and these things is how much the world of conservation and things that you and Rachel and people do are connected, are intertwined, and how important. I kind of get, even as a city boy, how important conservation is and how important the earth is. And I like breathing, so trees seem pretty cool.
Yes, you know, exactly.
I know some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the I don't think it's common knowledge how much conservation is a part of so much of these things that we do. I've learned this so much with our farmers and our ag industry, and some of the biggest supporters of conservatory is our farming industry.
Right.
I love the combination of this. For anybody, no matter what the age, but specifically for kids, the idea of kids growing up and seeing adults doing these actions, they're more likely to do them. We have the science of that. We know that data of that. Child sees adult do said thing. They grow up. They tend to grow up and do those things.
Right.
And this is another example of that, of showing how important it is to take care of this planet. We want it around for them. They want it around for them.
Yes.
These things all adds up. It all intertwines.
Right. Absolutely. And not only that, but from a, you know, kids seeing their parents and seeing adults in their lives doing things perspective. The other part of this event that we're really excited about and that we like to feature is the idea of STEM careers. Yeah. So looking at, you know, this is, I should say, you know, sort of disclaimer off the bat. This is an event for all ages. So we talk about kids. It's not just focused on kids. Anyone can come. But we really want to highlight some of those STEM-focused careers, some of those trade-based careers, to give kids an opportunity to see that those are options for them when they, you know, they get to the age where they're graduating from high school. Maybe they're thinking about going on to some sort of post-secondary training or going right into the workforce, that they could do things like, you know, the paper industry, which is still alive in our community, or hydroelectric machine operators and engineers, and all of those options are available to our youth.
It's interesting, Kayla. We had Midstate in before. We were talking with Ryan from Midstate, and him and I were talking about how one of the things I always like to bring up with Midstate is they do such a great job of getting you prepared for your job to go before you even flip that tassel over and graduate. A lot of times you have a gig lined up. That's a very unique situation. I feel that STEM has been that for the education system.
Right.
That it has been that groundbreaking game changer that builds kids, whether they realize it or not, builds kids for the next level. Sometimes that's high school, sometimes that's college, but whatever the next level is for them, I think that it prepares them that much better for that.
Yeah, and I think it leads to, you know, well-rounded employees, and it's important to get that experience as early as possible. So I in a past life, used to work very closely with a machining operation in Stevens Point. And it was, you know, one of those operations where he started in his garage and then it turned into a full-fledged business. And one of the things that he always said, he was a strong supporter of youth apprenticeship and those types of initiatives. And he would work with students in welding and machining and have students hate it. And he would say, No, this is not, you have not failed. This is not a disappointment. This is a positive thing because you know you don't want to do this.
Right.
Cross it off your list. You haven't gone to school yet. You've had the opportunity and now you can go move in a different direction. Or maybe you realize that you really like one specific part of it. Maybe you really like the CAD or the software-based part. Yeah. And so you're going to pursue that. So with this event, you know, getting families exposed to these types of opportunities as early as possible, I think is just helpful to help help those students in our community go on to local careers in our community.
Before we get too downstream, I had to.
I was
working all night on that. Before we do, though, let's to maybe people out there that don't know this event, let's touch on the event, what it is to those that may not know.
Right. Thanks for bringing us back on task. You know, we can wander.
Yeah, we can.
Upstream.
We can. Yes,
downstream.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
You set it up for me.
No,
and
no,
I,
that
I
was
just,
good. That was good.
I just stole it. But so Science by the River, it is a festival. It's part of the Wisconsin Science Festival, which happens primarily in Madison, but also across the state every year at the end of October. And the whole point of the event is to celebrate science and curiosity for not only Wisconsin Rapids residents, but for residents of central Wisconsin as a whole. So this is our third year of this event. It takes place along the Wisconsin River in Wisconsin Rapids. So it goes from the farmers market area, right there on the bridge, all the way down to Ben Hansen Park on the other end. So it's about a 2-mile stretch. And excuse me, there are kind of three parts of the event this year. So there's that river cleanup. We'll be looking for volunteers to sign up for that in advance. And we'll be doing that in the morning. And then from 11 to 2, there are discovery stations. So our discovery stations are hosted by organizations or clubs, groups that have a STEM-based initiative or a STEM-based focus who want to share that with the public. So you can host, organizations who are interested can host that Discovery Station. Many of our Discovery Station hosts offer some sort of interactive activity.
Yeah, yeah.
So last year we had the library, Carrie Priest, who is our children's librarian, offered a sink or float activity kids. Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, their science department always does something really fun. This year I think there's marshmallow catapults in store.
Ooh.
So learning
that's
a little
cool.
bit about physics as you design your own catapult. And I believe that that's a take-home project as well.
Nice.
So something that people can take away from the event.
Mm-hmm.
And so we encourage families and participants to travel that trail in whatever way makes sense for them. So you can certainly walk or bike mm-hmm. that distance. Each year we have a bike checkout station at the farmer's market and then also over at Ben Hansen. So you can do the rental bike if you don't have your own and rent the bike and ride from one location to the other.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of convenient parking. So if you are someone who has mobility concerns or issues, you certainly can park along the route. And then, of course, walking it.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful trail. It's a great chance to get outside and enjoy nature.
I know last year, I don't know if the previous year, but I know last year I talked to some people that they didn't necessarily interact with a lot of this stuff, but they walked the trail. They wanted to see what was going on. They wanted to
right.
check it out and observe a lot of this. Even that can be insightful and learn some things from. If you don't feel comfortable or don't have the time to interact with some of these stations, I encourage you to take the path, take the walk. It's always a nice walk for one.
Right.
It's a great path, that you're going to be taking, but you're going to be supporting this event as well. And that means just as much.
Exactly.
We have for years now talked about buying local, supporting local, and the importance of
mm-hmm.
that. We don't get the chance very often to talk about supporting local education.
Right.
And that's just as important as a local business.
Right. Yeah.
With this event, it's also free. We love that word. We
yes.
like to mention that. We like.
mm-hmm.
But it is a free event, so keep that in mind as well. That it's something that you don't necessarily have to walk into the event. No, I got to have cash for this, or I have to, do I have my card on me or whatever? That's
right.
just something to just come and bring your brain. That's what we want. We
yeah.
want you to bring that brain of yours, that beautiful brain. One other thing I want to make sure to mention, in part because I love the name Tap Talks.
Yes. So
it's
that is
such a good name.
It is. It really is. That's the third part of the event. So for primarily the adults who are interested, we mm-hmm. offer Tap Talks at Bee's Tap House and Two Doors Down Brewing. We don't know the Tap Talks yet,
okay.
but we will announce those as we get closer to the event. I can tell you that last year we had Tap Talks on the Wisconsin River, so
Ooh.
On the history of the Wisconsin River,
nice.
On the history of Wisconsin Rapids, kind
cool.
of tied into that, and
yeah.
the connection to Grand Rapids, also on the water quality and the sustainability
mm-hmm.
that comes around water quality mm-hmm. in the Wisconsin River. And Scott Provost from the DNR is the one who gave that Tap Talk, and Scott is just a really engaging
He's awesome.
Speaker.
Scott's great.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Definitely was really informative. And then we also had a Tap Talk being at Bee's Tap House, Two Doors Down Brewing, on the science of brewing, which is another
nice.
Thing. You think about these STEM careers, but so often ag and then also, production in
mm-hmm.
terms of whether it's beer, coffee, shrub, I think
yeah,
of,
yeah.
like, or ketchup, those types of things all require science as well. So, so join us for those Tap Talks
yeah.
for sure.
And again, those will be at Bee's Tap House.
Right.
Be sure to keep an eye out for that. We're going to be talking about this event plenty as we
yeah.
build up to it here at the station. So we'll let you know who those speakers will be, and other details about the
yeah.
event as we get closer to it.
So we are in the planning stages right now, as you said. We'll let you know as we get closer and things are more solidified. But right now, we are looking, our goal is to double the number of Discovery Stations that we had in years past.
I like that.
We really want it to be along that 2 mile trail that you can see the next station from the station you're at.
That's cool. I like that.
So that's our goal. We'll see if we get there. We're hoping that we will. And so this is my request to listeners is if you are a part of an organization that has a STEM focus and has information that you want to share, please come out and join us. It's free to be a vendor or a Discovery Station host. We just ask for your time. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fun way to interact with families and a different audience maybe than you have been accustomed to in the past. So I mentioned earlier Macmillan Library, the Wisconsin Rapids Public School District, the DNR will be there. They'll have their fish, their boat and their fish demo again. Yeah. Gives kids a chance to see muskies up close if they don't come from a family of fishermen and fisherwomen. Mm-hmm. So lots of cool opportunities. But we're also looking to groups, you know, like club-based groups or lake associations. This is your chance to kind of talk about your mission and talk about what you're doing.
I know that in years past, we've had some different organizations, nonprofits, and you mentioned Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools being a part of this event. I would think if you are somebody, a vendor or anybody that or somebody that has something that along these lines, this is not only a great way to promote that and put that out there, but also for you to interact with the community. For right. you to be able to interact, maybe and talk to people like you said that you may not always get a chance to and interact and work with them. It's a unique thing to be able to offer to people that not a lot of areas have. This event is that unique and that cool about that, where it goes with that, especially given the trails that we have here and obviously the Wisconsin River pulling right through out. It all adds up to a wonderful event, a really fun time. If people want to sign up for the volunteering when it comes to the cleaning of the river, how can they do that, Kayla?
So that is not posted yet, but you can expect to see that on the United Way's volunteer website. So United Way of Southwood and Adams County, you can sign up there, or you can sign up right on the Science by the River webpage. And I'll give you, you know, this is the thing that James and I always talk about is how to share websites over the radio. Yeah. So the Science by the River webpage is actually part of the Wisconsin Science Festival webpage. So it's a very long link. So I'm going to give you the Facebook page because it's easier to find us there. So it's facebook.com/scienceby the river, right? Pretty easy. Or search for Science by the River and you'll see it there. And we will post, as we get closer to the event, all of the volunteer opportunities, the vendor sign up for what I was just talking about, the Discovery Station sign up will be there, as well as the Tap Talk schedule and all of the event details.
We're speaking with Kayla, community development educator with Wood County University of Wisconsin Madison Division of Extension. And Kayla, with this event going on, and we've talked about it, there's a lot of building still going on for the event itself. Are there other projects, other things that you're working on alongside this for either the future or for current, you know, coming up or anything?
Yeah. So Science by the River is kind of a unique event for Extension because it involves a couple of our staff members at Extension. Yeah. So myself in community development is working on it, as well as Anna James, who is our water resource
Anna's
specialist.
Awesome.
Yeah, she has a big part of this event as well, and definitely a big part of her heart for water quality and for water resources. So excited to partner with her, as well as our FoodWise nutrition staff are interested in being a part of the event and have been in the past. I was just talking to Hannah, and she has accessed a blender bike for the event. Yeah. Whoa. So she's going to be there and we'll give folks the opportunity to make their own smoothie that is pedal powered. I mean,
how cool
is that?
Yeah. Well, I think we buried the lead.
Right.
I think we should start the interview with this.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. So this event is really in terms of events, it's kind of in its infancy. So the first year it was planned by my predecessor, Rachel Whitehair. Yeah, yeah. She did an awesome job. And then she moved on to bigger and better opportunities. Last year I came on board sort of right as we were looking into the event. So we planned it and pulled it off in about 6 weeks, which is crazy in the event planning world. And so this year we are getting an early start and we're excited. The committee that we have that's made up of really dedicated volunteers from many of the organizations I just talked about and more are super excited to see this event grow and really become what we're viewing it as is we want it to be a destination event for the region. So not only for Wisconsin Rapids, but for all of our surrounding communities because there is not, there are some smaller science events and more, you know, like Mid-State, for example, or UWSP might host science events. But there's really not a Wisconsin Science Festival event in this part of the state. So we're kind of excited to become, to grow bigger and better.
Talking with Rachel about this recently, telling her, because I told her that we're going to be talking about this and stuff, and she just got so excited and was so happy to hear that and was talking about how, well, the hope was always that this event would grow and mm-hmm. get bigger and bigger and more people would interact with it. And sure, you know, sure enough, that's what's happening. That is the way it's going. You have helped get it that direction and help steer it in that way. But we can't do it alone. We want you out there. We want you to be a part of this event. And I gather if you are on the fence about, well, I don't know if what we could do or what we could offer or how we apply. I think we do, but I'm not sure. It can't hurt to ask.
Right.
There's no harm,
Give
no foul.
Give me a call. You know? I'd be happy to talk through it. So we have some very basic guidelines for who we're asking to host discovery stations. You know, we ask that you have some sort of STEM focus or STEAM focus, which includes arts. So, you know, very loosely, I think a lot of organizations could fall under that. And we, like I said, we just want to grow bigger and better than ever before. And each year we plan to keep improving.
I think it's a good idea to give them an example. Like, for instance, Kayla had to turn me down. The Science of the Simpsons class that I wanted to do, I was told that is not actual science. That's just me rambling about the Simpsons. Doesn't really add up. Nobody really wants to hear that. That's an example of things that won't work. But anything else almost, you know, probably will fit.
Yeah, examples of things that would work. You know, I gave the example of the sink or float activity earlier. We have also had interest from Mid-State to feature some of their programs and showcase some of those things that students and families may not know it is available. We have a stream table lined up, I think. So we'll be looking at just what happens to groundwater and rainwater and that kind of thing and looking at that full cycle. So lots of opportunities. Or, you know, groups like Isaac Walton League or if there's a local fishing club or, you know, those types of groups are invited as well.
I come from a builder family, a construction family, and many of you out there, I know you build stuff. I know you may cook. You do different things like this. All of us understand how great it feels to work and to put your blood, sweat, and tears into something. The earth is the same. When you get done helping, being a volunteer, cleaning up the river or any of these things, I promise you, and I only use that word if I can back it up, you're going to feel that same feeling from that, the putting back into your community, doing something like that. Can't encourage you enough to volunteer for this and to be a part of Science by the River. Kayla, if people want to know more, they want to reach out to you to see if they might be a good fit for this, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so that Facebook page I mentioned earlier, so again, facebook.com/Science by the River is a good way to get in touch with us. You'll find many of our contact information there for the planning committee. And then also you're always welcome to email or call and get in touch with me directly. So my email is K Rombalski. That's R-O-M as in Mary, B as in boy, A-L-S-K-I at WISC.edu.
Such a good name. You got a great name. It's a pretty name, yeah. Kayla, we always enjoy talking with you. Thank you so much for the time.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Likewise. Thank you.
Well, and more Midday Magazine. We'll wrap it up for the week tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Global temperatures in recent days are setting new records. CBS's Tina Krause has the latest.
A record summer sizzle is gripping the globe.
It is hot and it's very draining.
Climate scientists say July 4th was Earth's hottest day on record. Even with half the planet experiencing winter right now, the average temperature climbed to nearly 63 degrees.
We're going to continue to break records as climate change continues.
Experts say the climate crisis combined with an El Niño weather pattern warming temperatures in the Pacific is pushing new world records.
Police say a Texas man who went missing as a teenager in 2015 was not really missing at all. He returned home the next day, but he and his mother deceived officers by giving them false names for 8 years. Troy Finner is with the Houston Police.
If charges are appropriate, they'll see, but let us conduct the investigation. And what's next, just as any other investigation, we're going to follow our evidence.
Former President Trump's co-defendant, his valet, Walt Nauta, was in court today in the classified documents case.
Nauta was accused of moving the boxes around Mar-a-Lago as the feds were getting in on this case. And just before they executed their search warrant, Nauta has now formally pleaded not guilty.
CBS's Scott McFarlane. Yevgeny Prigozhin, the mercenary and army commander who led a short-lived rebellion against Russia's top military brass, reportedly is back in Russia. He was supposed to be exiled to Belarus.
Wednesday, Russian security forces raided Prigozhin's home in St. Petersburg, finding loads of cash, weapons, and a set of disguises Prigozhin reportedly used to travel around undetected.
Russia expert Beth Noble. Facebook's parent company, Meta, has released a new social media platform called Threads. Bree Fowler with CNET says it's a Twitter alternative.